Reading is from Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
This is a very famous story, and I'm sure we've all heard about this story for many years. I was growing up in Lebanon, and that story was used quite commonly to explain to kids about the disease that takes over our bodies and a reflection of sin and how God heals it. And that's all good and fine. It's a very specific concept, and it works really well. But the story is a lot more detail, and there's a lot more to the story than we realize. On the surface, Jesus is in this town. He would have been the most famous person walking around the Galilee and different parts of Judea. And the crowd had followed him. Some people had come to see him preach. Some have come to challenge him. Some have come to be healed. And on the surface, this man has turned up to be healed. But his disease is not an ordinary disease. In fact, in biblical time, it was the most dangerous disease. It was the most feared disease. There was no healing for it. It started with an infection, and you started to get tired, and attacks your immune system, and it attacks the joints, and shortly after, your body starts to decompose. It's a very detailed, very awful disease. Your body would start to smell. Leprosy would attack the nervous system, so you're not aware when your limbs are decaying. And nowadays, we have medicine to fix that disease, but in those days, it was awful. And we recognize, we know, that it takes nearly 9 years for someone to die from leprosy. So in the Bible, when it says he's full of leprosy, covered with leprosy, we can assume that this man was at the latest stages of his disease. But in fact, probably one of the worst things about leprosy was the isolation that it brought. And we've all lived in isolation over the last 18 months, haven't we? See, up until recently, the concept of isolation didn't really make a lot of sense. In a social event, we're not aware of that until the recent times. See, the Torah was very clear on how leprosy should be treated, how people should be isolated. But by the time Jesus had arrived, the rabbis had actually created many more laws restricting or stopping people's interaction with lepers. And it was even illegal for a Jewish person to greet a leper. It's not like interact, you can't even say good morning to them. It's a different concept altogether. They were not allowed to have communion. They were forced to leave their family behind, their children, and they were live outside of town. And it was illegal for a leper to approach anybody within 50 feet. And incredibly, I didn't realize this till recently, that on a windy day, that distance extended to 200 feet. So can you imagine that someone had to, "Oh, it's a windy day today, let's work out the measurement." And the reason for that was that they were forced to declare that they were unclean. They would rip away the garments as a sign that they are unfit to be in society. Perhaps the nearest thing we've had that in our society in the last maybe 100 years, when the Germans forced the Jewish nation people to wear the Star of David as a symbol that they are different. And similar in that sense, the lepers were forced to tear away the garment, and they were supposed to declare in advance, unclean, unclean, unclean. And that shouting would have given the person who was walking on the streets the chance to find the biggest stone they can find, so that if they got closer, they can stone them. This is the kind of concept we have to keep remembering in the Jewish period of how lepers were treated. Sounds awful, but it's one way of actually eradicating or stopping the spread of the disease. Now that morning, you can imagine that the leper has heard about Jesus and he's excited. But you can imagine the conversation going on with his friends. Because we don't hear about the rest, we only hear about him. So it must have spread this news this guy was in town. And you can imagine the conversation. I wouldn't go there if I was you. It's not worth it. Stay here. It's too dangerous. He doesn't care about lepers. Maybe he sees other people, but leprosy is a different game ball. I wouldn't bother if I was you. Because I think the consequences of venturing into town was death. Not only humiliation, it was death. But you can imagine that morning, as the leper walks into town, the abuse he would have had, the reaction from the crowds, it would have been quite a nasty environment, a mob environment in many ways. It took courage. And we're told how he handles that. He turns up at the right time and he approaches Jesus in the right way. He says, if you're willing, you can heal me. Now, it's very easy for us to look back at this story and we know how the story ends, don't we? We recognize Jesus' character. We know he's compassionate. So we know he's going to heal him, don't we? That's amazing when we look back, but he didn't know that. He had no idea if this guy would even look at him. He had no idea if he'd actually get to the right place, if he can actually see Jesus from a distance. And yet, we know that Jesus touches him. We know that in a little touch like that can actually heal people. But we know Jesus could have said from a distance, I can see you. I can smell from here. The smell is awful. Don't get any closer. Just go back to where you came and you'll be healed in a day's time or whatever would have worked out. But Jesus decided to actually touch him. Now, if you've been living with leprosy for 8 years and no one has touched you before, that's a symbolic aspect, isn't it? A powerful message that you are of value, that you deserve that attention from Jesus. Because for me, you see, when Jesus touches that person, he enters his world. He says that I am with you. We're here together. That I am not appalled or repulsed by your looks. You are of immense value. And that's what Jesus says. See, and if this story finishes here, that's fantastic. Great story. But we miss out on the next bit. It's very important. See, can you imagine if Jesus was a celebrity today? He would have had all the cameras, right? We'd have had people lining up and there was film from everywhere. And then next thing you know, there'd be a book, right? A book. And there'd be a church after him. There's churches after him, right? But he'd be very famous. But Jesus has a different approach to this. He has a different vision to what happened. Jesus says to him, go and show yourself to the high priest, that you will be a testimony unto them. Now we forget this is the first cleansing of leprosy since Elijah in 2 Kings 5. Now, I did a bit of research on this recently and I just was quite interested. What does that mean? So that they would have to do the commandments of Leviticus. What's the combination? What's the ceremony? It's a very detailed ceremony of what would happen. But amazing about this is that the high priest in Jerusalem would never have seen someone healed from leprosy. Now, for him to actually do the ceremony, he has to go back somewhere in the back cupboards of the back cupboard to find the manuscript. No one had actually seen it. They've never had to practice it before. It's an unusual concept. So it's not he would have memorized it. It wasn't necessary. It doesn't happen. See, that day, the priest was to be put on notice that there was a man in town who had the power to take away leprosy. The miracle would have made a notice, would have put the priest on notice that there's a man out there who could heal leprosy. Now, if you know the Torah, that's one symbol of the Messiah. That's one way the Messiah would come. It's a symbolic aspect. But sadly, the man disobeyed. And what would have been a great testimony went untold in many ways. It didn't go to the right person. He says to him, tell no one but the priest. But the man went out and told everyone but the priest. It's not that Jesus wanted you to be happy about this, but it was the reasons for that. And instead, the leper's disobedience compromised Jesus' ministry. And we are told that Jesus was forced into the country. Small little disobedience can actually have an impact on Jesus' ministry. And we tend to do that. As his people, we tend to obstruct God from doing the right things. Because we've got our own agenda. We've got our own style of doing things. And yes, Jesus wants to heal. It doesn't matter what rags you're wearing this morning. It doesn't matter what you have behind or you're hiding. That's of little value to him. He cares about you immensely. Jesus wants to touch. He's a very social person. He wants to be in our space. He wants to be close. And then he wants to equip us. He wants to lift you up and stand you on your own feet and say you're ready to go. But for what reason? Now, he didn't save us so we can come to church and tell the next person that I'm a Christian. They already know that. That's old news. I guess we're here for a reason, but that's not what he has rescued you for. He's not what he's planned for you. He wants you to send you out on mission. That's the reality. That's the challenge. And I'm aware this church is so involved in so many outreach, and I commend you for that. What an amazing ministry this is. What a location this will be as you go out and reach people around you. That's an essential part of what Jesus commanded. But he wants to send you out on a mission. And he wants you to find the next person with rags. The next person who has no hope, and tell them that there is hope. Tell them that Jesus is real. That's what we're doing. That's what you do for Alpha. That's what we do around the world. Tell them that Jesus heals. Tell them that he wants to touch, that he wants to be part of what you're doing. And that's what we're doing at Stand By Me. We go around the world and we go to places and situations where no one wants to go. We have the pleasure of doing that. And we see kids who are seen as unclean. Kids who've got rags on the streets, who society have told them they're of no value. And we tell them they're of immense value to Jesus. And we tell them that he loves them more than they know. That's our challenge. That's what we do. And that's what we take the pleasure. And let me just share a little story of one of our kids, if I can, as a way of demonstrating how that works in a very simple way. I have the pleasure of reading a lot of the communication that we get from our kids. As Christmas comes, our little office becomes a small post office. Over 8,000 parcels are sent out around Christmas. Our sponsors here, they send communications and gifts to the kids overseas, and we get to pack it up and send it, and it arrives, and then we get the pictures and joy of seeing those kids opening up the presents for the first time. And around January, February, we get thank you letters come back. And this letter came back a couple of years ago from a young man called Cam. And he wanted to thank his sponsors, but to also describe and explain to her his situation. And he wrote to a lady in Essex. Her name is Mrs. Spencer. This is what he wrote. He says, I was born in Kalamu town in northern Burma, and I am one of three children. My father died before I had known him. So I've never seen his face. Because of our hardship, our family, my mother and my elder sister went to India to make our living. But now my sister has died. So it's quite a tragic way of starting. But if we think about India, we think about a poor place. And to think about Myanmar or Burma, to leave from Myanmar to work in India, that gives you the scale of how bad things are in Myanmar. And things are tough now. It's one of the worst places we work around the world. He continues, says, while my mother was in India, she left us with my grandfather. But my grandfather is a cruel man, and he sent us to work on a farm. He beat us so many times without mercy. One time, my grandfather beat us so much that my younger sister died. It's very hard to understand how can so much injustice can happen to one child at such an age. And he says, while we were suffering under this hardship, I cried to God with tears. Where do you go from here? Then he says, God heard our prayers and he sent us a gentleman who took us to the Sambami children's home. See, I focus on this, on the missionary language that God sends and takes. Very important how God does these things. He sends people. And he says, we thank God because he delivered us from under this hardship. At this home, everything is okay. Now, I grew up in a children's home. I can tell you that's not okay. You know, I can still smell that first night. It's when you're away from your family. Now, we have great homes, but it doesn't matter. You're away from your siblings and family. And he says, at this home, everything is okay. I enjoy it so much, but sometimes I remember my parents and I cry. Sometimes word would come out in my deepest heart asking why God let me be born to suffer this hardship and to be an orphan. These are serious words, isn't it? It's tough. There's not to... So then he says, when I was in my younger years at school, I was so sad when I saw my friend's parents who were coming to meet their children. I missed my parents and I wanted to become the son of a rich family. Then he finishes like this. He says, then God let me meet you as my sponsor and my mother. I want you to know that my Father God heard all my prayers. I cried out to him. I would like to say that God changed my cry to joy. I received from you a watch, a hat, a photo, a Christmas card, a handkerchief, warm coat, and coloring pencils. And I went to those who tormented me in class, and I said to them, I have good parents too, and they have sent me all these precious things. Your loving son, Cam. It's just a... No, I'm not saying Cam is the equivalent of a leper. That's not where he is. He's not dying from a disease. But in terms of self-esteem, he's at the bottom of that list. And sometimes we complicate things. We think that to change the world, we have to go to Africa and dig a well and rescue the world. It doesn't take that. It takes a handkerchief and a colouring pencils to make a child in Myanmar feel that they are part of a family and they are loved. Thank you for listening this morning. If you want to hear a bit more about what we do as an organisation, come and speak to me and Susanna. We're at the back. There's more information. Thank you for your support. We welcome your prayers. We need it desperately as we continue to work in faith and to rescue kids in crisis. Thank you, and God bless.